This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum everyone. As you know, I love books and I like to promote books, in particular books about the Muslim civilization. Today I'm in a very, very special place. I had to share this place with you and its value. Okay, what you see behind me, it states Treasures of the Library. What library? What library are we talking about? The library I'm talking about is in Dubai. It is one of the best libraries I've been to in my life, for the reasons you will see, inshallah, in due course. This library is called Muhammad bin Rashid, Sheikh Muhammad bin Rashid Library in Dubai. You must visit this library. People come to Dubai for all sorts of reasons. People come here for partying, people come here for enjoying a holiday, people come here for business meetings, people come here for buying property and doing all sorts of things. I am trying to invite everyone who comes to Dubai that you must come and see these treasures. And I cannot possibly share all the treasures with you in one particular video, but I can quickly explain what this treasure actually is. So if you follow me, the person behind the camera is also very important. He's going to remain anonymous, but he will explain as we go along what we are dealing with here. Okay, this library has modern books. It has an amazing collection of Islamic heritage. What you see behind me there are parchments, okay? Pages from old Qurans, okay? Dating back to the 2nd century Hijri, from the time of the Imams and Muhaddithin, people like Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Bukhari. These Quran pages are actually from their times. Then we go around there, which we won't this time. You will have to come and see yourself. There are absolutely amazing, fascinating, mind-blowing Quran manuscripts, gold illuminated with excellent, beautiful artwork, okay? But today, I want to share a very special section of this particular collection, of this particular treasure with you. And what section is that? Come with me, inshallah. That section is this very part. Now, you may be thinking, why am I bringing you to this part and not other parts of the library, although every single inch of this library is worth looking at. It has been beautifully put together by very noble people. They don't want me to mention the names, okay? They don't want fame, but the person behind the camera has humbly, may Allah bless him, has volunteered to come forward and do this for us, okay? And he is part of the team that put this library together. Alhamdulillah, may Allah reward every single person. But this is a hidden treasure in Dubai. I cannot emphasize enough how important this particular collection is for you to come and look at, okay? This is why I promote books. This is why I talk about the Muslim civilization and its contribution to human development in general and the intellectual development of European mind in particular. So we will now look at some of the European prints that come from Muslim civilization, okay? So our brother behind the camera, he is going to very quickly explain what we are looking at right now. Go ahead, Sheikh.
Okay, so here we have, we're trying to show the importance of Arabic, the Arabic language, and how the Europeans, they studied the Arabic language. So we have early Arabic grammar texts. We have books in Arabic grammar written by Europeans. This is printed in 1613. This is printed in 1592. And we have other books here from the 17th century, all dealing with Arabic grammar. Just shows the importance of the Arabic language in Europe and how much they studied it.
Okay, so very quickly to summarize, what you saw there are books on the Arabic grammar. Specifically, the Europeans are very interested in the Arabic language. They studied the grammar to be able to study what will follow right now. So they studied the Arabic language not because they liked the Arabic language for no reason, or they were doing it for fun. No, they actually had a reason to study the language. And the reason was to study the sciences Muslims had left behind. And Europeans took these sciences from the Muslims, mostly coming from Al-Andalus, Islamic Spain, and Sicily, and Baghdad, and Damascus, places like that. Muslim authors, Muslim intellectuals, Muslim scientists, Muslim philosophers had put together a lot of works in the Arabic language, and the Europeans in the 14th and the 15th and the 16th centuries, they studied these works from the Arabic language, translated them into Latin. Some translations were done earlier, of course, no doubt, but a lot of this work was actually printed during the Renaissance period, when the European Renaissance was in full swing, and this is the time when some of these works were actually translated into Latin language from the Arabic language, and we will see what we're dealing with here right now.
Here we have Jabir ibn Hayyan. So this is the first Latin translation of Jabir ibn Hayyan's works on chemistry. We have here an early edition of Ibn Sina's Qanun, his Canon of Medicine.
Okay, very quickly, Sheikh, we want to explain what this is. Okay. Jabir ibn Hayyan was one of the pioneers of chemistry or alchemy, and the Europeans had taken knowledge of chemistry from Jabir ibn Hayyan, who was also known as Al-Jabr. Okay, and Robert of Ketton was a 12th century scholar who knew the Arabic language. He translated Jabir's works from the Arabic language into Latin, and he actually states in his preface that I'm doing these translations because I actually feel sorry for my brethren in Europe. They don't know this knowledge, so I'm trying to translate this knowledge for them so that they can study it to better themselves. So we have Al-Qanun of Ibn Sina, which was a compendium of medical practices or medical advice and other things to do with medicine. This is a very important work, again, very popular during the Renaissance period. And this was published in 1562, this particular edition in Latin. Coming forward, Sheikh.
Here we have Ibn al-Haytham's Kitab al-Manadhir, which is his book on optics. This is a very important book, actually, because it was... And it was lost, the Arabic text for this was lost, and it was saved by this Latin translation.
Wow, amazingly. So what our beloved Sheikh has explained here, that this work was lost, and it was only saved by the Muslims in the Arabic language, and then a Latin translation was made.
No, the Arabic was lost, and it was saved by the Europeans in this Latin translation.
Okay, so the Arabic was lost, and this translation was made, and this is how we found the work on geometry, as this is Euclid. Okay.
Optics,
sorry. Ibn al-Haytham. Sorry. Ibn al-Haytham's Optics, right? So Euclid, we're going to see in a minute. Yeah.
This is Al-Zahrawi's famous book on surgery. This is the first fully illustrated edition from 1532. It shows the instruments in surgery, and a lot of the instruments that he invented are still in use today.
So this is Abul Qasim al-Zahrawi, a Spanish medical practitioner who was a surgeon. He invented or pioneered some of these surgical instruments. And you can see a European print made in Europe, published in Europe. And this is the work of a Muslim scientist from Spain. And these instruments, some of them are still in use. And many of these instruments you can see there were used for as late as the 19th century. Up to the 19th century, these instruments were still in use until they were updated, and some of them are still actually being used to this day. So this is Abul Qasim al-Zahrawi, and this particular edition was published in 1532 in Strasbourg. Strasbourg is basically Germany, right? So it was published in Germany. And what do we have there, Sheikh?
Here we have Ibn Rushd's commentary on Aristotle.
Wow. Okay. So Ibn Rushd was a scholar from Spain again. Okay. He was alive in the 12th century. Okay. And he was the Qadi of Qartaba. He was also a philosopher. He had translated Aristotle's works and had written commentaries in Arabic on the works of Aristotle. And many of the works that were lost were found through the commentaries of Ibn Rushd by the Europeans. And you can see this particular volume was printed in Europe in Latin in 1495 to 1496 in Venice. So what is the point here? The point is that the Europeans, as late as the 15th century and the 16th century, they are still benefiting from the Muslim heritage produced in places like Baghdad, Damascus, and later on in Qartaba. Okay, this legacy actually influenced the European mind as late as the Renaissance period, and even later than that, as we will see very quickly in due course. What do we have next year? We have Almagest.
Almagest by Ptolemy.
So Ptolemy basically was, a cartographer, okay? He was a geographer as well. And this is Almagest, very, very important book, which was published in Venice in 1496. So this work was also produced in Arabic, and Almagest is the Arabic name of the book which was kept in this particular case. Although this particular volume was produced from a Greek from the original Greek text, but the name Almagest is Arabic, and that was kept. Right, what do we have next?
Here we have Jabir ibn Afla, who is also from Andalusia, and this is him correcting the views of Ptolemy in Almagest. The book was called Tasheeh Ara Almagesti.
So there was this propaganda that Muslims were just plagiarizers. They just took from the Greeks and the Romans, and they just put those works forward in the Arabic language and didn't make any corrections or any of the original contributions. But this is an evidence, okay, looking at you in your face, telling you, no, that's not true. That story or that propaganda is not true. Muslims actually took knowledge from the Greeks and their predecessors and corrected them on many things and produced their own original works. And this is one of those examples. Jabir bin Aflah, okay, who was Andalusian, Spanish. This particular volume was published in Nuremberg in Germany in 1534. Allahu Akbar. So Germans are studying Muslim corrections of Ptolemy and basically on some of his theories, Muslims' commentary on Ptolemy's theories and making corrections on him in 1534. Okay, what do we have here very quickly?
Here we have Abu Ma'shar al-Balkhi, his book on astrology and astronomy.
Wow. So this is published in 1489. You know, printing was invented, as they say, in 1455. The first book printed was done in 1455, and that was the Gothenburg Bible. Okay, this is 1489. This is very early. You can say within 30 years of printing being, invented, we have Abu Ma'shar al-Balkhi's book published, you know, in Augsburg, which is again Germany, in 1489. And this is on astrology and astronomy. Okay, so why are we showing you this? We're showing you this so that you understand that Muslim contribution, Muslim role in the development of the European mind, in particular during the Renaissance period, is very much undermined and downplayed. And when you look at the actual magnitude of the work Muslims contributed and how the Europeans were translating these works into their own languages and benefiting from them is absolutely mind-blowing. You know, it's so amazing. We have another item. Here
we have the first Arabic edition of Euclid's Elements, and this was printed in Rome in 1594.
So this is Euclid I mentioned earlier mistakenly when we were talking about Ibn Haytham, his optics. This is Euclid. Euclid is called Aqlidus in the Arabic language, and he produced works on geometry in particular. And this is again a print from 1594, Rome. This particular Arabic text you're looking at right now on geometry was published in Arabic, in the original language, in Rome, in Italy, in 1594, when, again, the Renaissance, the European Renaissance, was in full swing, or it had reached its peak already. So this is not just something to brush away or brush aside and say, no, this is just, you know, a normal thing. No, you can see the magnitude we're dealing with. We're dealing with geometry, we're dealing with surgery, we're dealing with optics, we're dealing with chemistry, we're dealing with philosophy. What more do you need? This is what the Muslims produced. This is the Islamic civilization. Okay, apart from our theology, our morals, our ethics, okay, and our Qurans and hadith and poetry and literature otherwise, look at this stuff. This has been ignored and neglected.
Euclid was a Greek text. So the original Greek was lost, and it was only saved by the Arabs in the Arabic. So if it wasn't for the Arabic translations, it would be a lost text.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to say that Euclid was an Arab. No, yeah. The work was saved by the Arabs, the Muslims, in the Arabic language. And this is why the Europeans were able to publish it in the Arabic language. Okay, so Euclid clearly is a Greek name. Okay, or Euclides in Arabic language, as he was called. There you go.
This is the first Arabic edition of Ibn Sina's, again, Al-Qanun, which is his canon of medicine.
So the first Arabic edition of Ibn Sina, again, theologically problematic, no doubt. No doubt he was theologically problematic. Many Muslim ulama didn't like him for his theological views because he took Aristotle as his authority, in some cases, over the Islamic ideals, right? But his work on medicine was produced and it was celebrated, published, studied, and implemented throughout Europe for centuries. Here we have 1593. Published in Rome in Arabic. And I asked our brother, our sheikh behind the camera, that why were they publishing in Arabic in Europe? And he answered, and you can tell us why. Maybe you can tell us why.
Well, there were scholars in Europe that were studying the original text in Arabic because, it's the original language. So the translation, the translation didn't do justice to the Arabic text. And also because some of these texts were also exported to the Muslim world because printing was still banned in the Muslim world.
And hence the study of the Arabic grammar. As we started in the very beginning showing you those books on the Arabic grammar, you may be thinking, why are the Europeans studying the Arabic grammar? They were studying the Arabic grammar so that they can decipher all this knowledge and actually understand it and appreciate it, right? Okay, what do we have there?
Here we have Yuhanna ibn Masawir. These are three texts by him, translated from Arabic into Latin. In 1544.
Okay, this is Paris, 1544. So we have Leiden, we have Venice, we have Rome, we have Paris, we have Strasbourg, we have other German cities where all of these, so this is not just one particular corner of European territory where these books are being produced. This was throughout Europe. Europeans are inspired by this knowledge. They were actually now, for some reason, there is a lot of Islamophobia, there's a lot of hatred against Islam and Muslims and the Muslim civilization because of ignorance, because people don't know this stuff. And this is why we're making this video, so that you get to realize. This is why I want you to come and visit this library in Dubai. If you come to Dubai, and you, many people do, please don't miss this opportunity. You will be blown away by other parts of the library, like the Quranic manuscripts and poetry and literature and some of the European rarities. You will find early editions of Shakespeare in this library. You will find Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, the first edition, put in this particular library. And I mean, look, I cannot go through every single text and work kept in this library, in this treasure. But you must visit and spend at least 5 to 6 hours looking at the collection here. You'll be blown away, seriously. Last item we have in this side of the collection. What is that?
Here we have Al-Zarqali's tables of astronomy. So these were, he was again a Cordoban astronomer, and this is his tables that were translated again from Arabic into Castilian and then later into Latin.
Amazing.
This is the first printed edition from 1483.
Wow. Venice, 1483, Al-Zarqali, an Andalusian Muslim astronomer who produced these tables. Okay, so again, brothers and sisters, this is vast, vast treasure. This is vast legacy, vast heritage that we have not yet fully deciphered. I'm talking to Muslims in particular and to all humans in general. Guys, we need to wake up and realize how we have helped each other, how we have become bridges for each other from time to time, and we have moved forward together as human beings. So this is why, don't undermine and downplay anyone's legacy. Appreciate everyone in human history, and that's how we will bring about harmony and mutual respect for each other. So brothers and sisters, my message is, do not miss this opportunity. Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Library in Dubai, you must visit as soon as you can. Thank you so much for watching this video. There's more stuff coming. Stay tuned, as they say. Keep watching. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.